Welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us at Facebook at Freeform Network and on Twitter at FFR Podcast. And remember to send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Again, this is Freeform Radio. We got many hosts here. We got Danny.
Yes, sir. How you doing today, man?
We got Noel.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us again.
And we got It's All Good, Andy. We're back here, you know, living the dream here in the beautiful Midwest Chicagoland area. And it's been a fall started off pretty decent. So, but I see Danny said, fuck fall. He went into some gaming. He beat Mass Effect 2. I'm assuming that's on the PS5, Danny.
Actually, it was released for the PlayStation 4. It was a remaster of the game. But before we jump into that, just want to give some quick shout outs for some people that I saw on our various social networks. Keto Benefit 7, he started following us and hit a like. We appreciate that. Health to Fitness, appreciate the like on our episodes. Sebastian, also thank you so much. Fazi, I think, or F-A-I-Z. I don't know how you would pronounce that. Faze? Fazi? Okay, yeah. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah. And then Whoopples. This is where I kind of maybe show my inability in language arts and how I barely passed high school. W-U-P-P-L-E-S. But yeah, thank you.
Whoopples.
Okay. Yeah. But thank you so much for following us. But yeah, let's jump into our week. I beat Mass Effect 2. It was originally released for, I don't even know if it was released for PlayStation 3. I think Mass Effect 3 was the first one. Mass Effect 2 was the first PlayStation Mass Effect to get released. Mass Effect 1 was a Microsoft exclusive. It eventually did come over to the PlayStation, and where I first played it, PlayStation 2, there was like a collection kit 1, 2, and 3. But for PlayStation 4, they released a remaster of it where they kind of up-res the graphics. They totally redid Mass Effect 1 and kind of, maybe not from the ground up, but did a lot more work to update Mass Effect 1. But yeah, I just recently beat Mass Effect 2, and yeah, man, I still remember it. I couldn't quite recall too much of the plot, points. But after starting to get the ball rolling, it all started clicking back to me. And I'm like, yeah, I remember this and I remember that. And I went through it and finally beat it. It still holds up well, man. A little clunky. I mean, you're talking about a game that was released quite a bit ago. But it was certainly enjoyable. At least I enjoy it. I like the Mass Effect trilogy. And right now they're working on Mass Effect 5, or what would be number 5. Not sure if that's going to be the name of it or not. But yeah, I got number 3 next up to bat. But I kind of put it off to side. I had beaten Mass Effect 1. And then I forget what game I jumped into and beat that. And then I jumped into Mass Effect 2. Beat that, but I think I'm going to take a little break. Right now, I started playing Assassin's Creed, and I started goofing around with that for a little bit. So,
which one, though? There's like a ton of them.
Right. Yeah, it's the latest one, Valhalla. That's the one I've been playing. And it's okay. It's okay. It's really... I should have known that I would struggle through it, like enjoying it, just because I played... I think it was Origins, or I tried to play Origins. I got it like on a loaner from somebody, and I played it for a minute, and I just wasn't feeling it, man. I'm like, I don't know if I'm Assassin's Creed, like, fatigued. But yeah, I started playing Valhalla, and it's okay. It's okay. I'm kind of powering through it. It's starting to become a little bit more enjoyable. I'm starting to get kind of the hook in. You know, the hooks are starting to get into me. But going back into Mass Effect, really cool sci-fi, really cool game. I mean, it's really popular. I'm sure anybody out there that games is familiar with it.
I'm reading the wiki on it. Yeah, it came out in 2011 for initially in 2010. It was Xbox 360 and Microsoft, I guess, computers. And then in 2011, they brought it onto the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, thanks for looking that up. But yeah, that's when I first played it, roughly about then. I typically don't buy games when they first launch. I wait until they hit that like $30 mark or $20 mark, and then that's when I start kind of piquing my interest and buying it. You know, I don't make those buco bucks yet, so I'm here, you know, trying to bargain bin it here. But yeah, Mass Effect was cool.
They remastered it and they just released it like in the PlayStation Store or whatever. That's you downloaded it.
Yeah. So I believe the remaster came out on disc and digital. I ended up buying the disc because I typically like having a hard copy of everything. I could resell it to GameStop and get $5 for it and get something at least when I'm done with it. But yeah, I started playing Mass Effect and enjoyed it, beat it. And I'm playing Valhalla, and I'm thinking after Valhalla, I might jump back into Mass Effect 3 just to clean out the trilogy and beat all three games. But, man, there's some really cool games that have recently come out. I think Noel kind of mentioned the last recording, the ActRaiser. So, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to jump back into Mass Effect 3. I'm going to have to see if it can call me back just so that I can clean out the trilogy and have it behind me. But that ActRaiser is calling to me, man. I might have to play that before I hit Mass Effect 3. But, yeah, the only thing I wanted to bring up is I watched the movie Old. I'm not sure if you guys even heard of it.
Yeah,
it's one of those M. Shyamalan vehicles. And it was okay. It was okay. I think it's just like Assassin's Creed. I'm getting Shyamalan fatigue, man, where I typically watch movies that way anyways, where I'm looking at everything. And if I see it thundering in the background, I'm like, oh, shit, something's going to happen. You know, or if you hear, you know, like different key notes and stuff like that, you kind of tell like something's going to happen. There's a big change in the plot's going to happen. And so that's, I typically watch and pay attention to a lot of the details in movies. And M. Shyamalan, ever since he first started getting that reputation, I started kind of seeing movies in that fashion as well. And watching this, I was looking at everything like, oh, they're obstructing the logo here, and you could only see two of the letters. Does that mean something? And then, oh, they talked about this, and they talked about how the guy has cancer, and is that going to play a plot into the movie? And then I start watching other pieces, and you start kind of piecing these little clues, which, you know, I'm sure he's intentionally leaving them in the movie, so you can kind of piece together. And then when he gets at the end, he's like, boom, this is the reveal. Did you guess it kind of thing? And I got to say, for this one, I didn't guess this surprising twist. To me, it was going in a way of almost like a supernatural route. And when it finally came out to the reveal, and the reveal was somewhat unrealistic, but at the same time was based in reality, that I was just like, oh, man, I didn't see this coming. But I got to say that the ending did sound cool. It did sound cool. I wasn't left like totally disappointed. But it wasn't like a, you know, 10 out of 10. You know, I would say if anything, it's like a 7. It's like average to good. And I enjoyed it somewhat. Have you seen it in a while? I know you mentioned that you had heard about it.
Yeah. I saw that not too long ago, probably a couple weeks ago, maybe a month. It was all right. I've seen a lot of horror movies, so it's like I kind of have a little bit of a higher standard when it comes to horror movies, at least recently I have. And that one, the ending for me, I like the way it ended in a certain sense, like in whether they live or die kind of sense, but I didn't like how rushed it felt. It really felt rushed, and you didn't get any more answers afterwards. Like, what the fuck happened to the place? What happened to the people? Like,
you know really? What I mean? That's what kind of, to me, I thought the ending was too long in my head. I think after the people show up out of nowhere and, you know, they thought they were dead and they show up out of nowhere and they're like, here's the book. To the cop, and then then they present themselves and start kind of. I think that's when it should have like start panning out and start kind of like, let's leave it ambiguous. Let's let the viewer, you know, put their thoughts into what is gonna be the ending. You know, kind of Soprano style. You know, just like fade to black, and let the owner, let the viewers kind of figure out and put together their ending for this movie.
Yeah, see, I don't like having to put together my ending. Like, I want to see the ending.
You want to see the director's thought, yeah.
And if they did cut it off at that point, then maybe I would have liked it, you know, as well. But because they kept going, I'm like, all right, well, we'll keep it going even further and explain more. They just kept it going enough to, like, just bore you, I guess.
Yeah, it was kind of, to me, like, Lord of the Rings style, where like, all right, here's Frodo in the bed, boom, end the movie. No, we got to show another piece, and then we got to show another piece, and we got to show. And I did get that feeling, you know, it started panning, showing some of the background characters' faces, you know, and they're like, all like, holy shit. And then it panned to them flying in the helicopter, and then it's just like, man, this ending's going on too long. Like, I don't need to see all this stuff. I kind of like the thought of me kind of picturing the ending and kind of putting it together. Now, I watched it with Alana, and she seemed okay with it. She was just like, yeah, it was good. She's like, I totally didn't see that coming. She knows that I like horror movies, and she doesn't really care for them, but she bears with it to watch them with me. And so I forgot what the last movie was that we watched prior to this, but it was more of an Alana movie, if you had to put a label on it. So when we watched this one, I bet you she was just like, well, I guess Daniel's due for one of his movies. So she buried with it and she watched it. And it does have that horror kind of suspense thriller feel at the start, but the end becomes something different. So it was okay.
Creepy points for sure, dude. And the lady in the cave, the one that was like getting.
Oh, the bone, the calcium depraved chick. Yeah.
Yeah. Her bones were freaking cracking and breaking as she's like trying to chase him for help. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that was probably the creepiest part. Like, it was well done, I thought.
Yeah, for sure, man. No, it was cool. I like his movies for the most part. I know these last couple people haven't really been digging Shyamalan movies, but I liked it. I thought it was okay. I don't know what you would rate it, but I'll put like a 7 on it, if anything.
I would give it like a 6.
All right. No, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. But maybe speaking of reviews, what's your reviews on this MyFitnessPal app, man? Tell us about it. Are you feeling it? Is it living up to its expectations as far as the app goes?
So I can only give it a review based on my experience with it, but I can't really compare it to other apps because this is actually the first app that I'm using, at least strictly, you know, like using it like not religiously, but like very determined to get everything dialed in. And so far, so good, man. It's got information on just about everything. Let me pull it up, actually, so I'm not just going off my memory here. Okay, so when you start it up, it has like a little social media thing if you want to do it. You know, you could share something, whatever, take pictures of shit. I don't mess with that. I go
straight to you can compete with other people, right?
If you want to compare the bots and all that. I just go to the diary. The diary is it's like a log tracking everything you eat and everything you're going to have for that day. It breaks it up into 3 meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then it has a section for snack and a section for exercise and a section for water. So, you know, just to give you an example here, I started out with, for lunch today, I'm going to have a New York strip steak, some broccoli, some green beans, protein pancake mix, a banana and chocolate milk, all that. So all that adds up to 1,095 calories. That's gonna come after my workout though, so I'm gonna earn that. You know what I mean? I'm not just gonna stuff it down. What I like though, what I like most of all, is that it calculates everything. So after I put everything, and I go down to the very bottom, there's a tab there that says nutrition. You click on that, and it brings up all the nutrients. You could either sort it by calories, you could sort it by the macros, or you could just look at the nutrient breakdown: protein, carbohydrates, fibers, sugars, fat, saturated, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, cholesterol, sodium, potassium, all your vitamins and minerals. So it tells you kind of what you're getting. And when you set this up, you set it up so it tells you, you tell it what, how much you weigh. You tell it your exercise level, you know, if you're sedentary or if you work out or if you're an athlete, whatever, you know, and you put your goal. How much do you want to lose? How much weight or fat do you want to lose? And so I want to lose a pound a week. You know, it's the standard goal. It's not too out of the realm of possibility. 3,500 calories a week, maybe a little more depending. And so it calculated me. On the lower end, I put that I was sedentary. I'm definitely not sedentary. I do work out 4 times a week. But I put it sedentary, so it would give me a lower calorie goal. So right now, it has me at about 2,000 calories. Now, my maintenance is 3,000. So based on that, if I meet the 2,000 that it asked for, every day I'm losing 1,000 calories. So I'm going to be losing more than a pound. But there's days where I'll have a little wiggle room. Maybe I'll have a protein bar that's 200 calories extra. So sometimes I will go over the 2,000. But I use it mainly as a guideline to figure out where I'm at, how much protein I'm getting, make sure that it's always above a certain level. For me personally, I need to maintain 120 grams of protein a day, which initially was very difficult because I was doing it all in my head. I was adding up, all right, I'm going to eat a fucking tostada of beans. What is that? And then I had to add it up. And then, oh, I'm going to eat a skirt steak later. Well, how much protein is that? And after time, it just got annoying. And I would, like, never be perfectly on it. And this, man, I've already lost 4 pounds. I've been on this for 3 weeks. This is the third week. So 3 weeks on it. I'm sure I've lost more than four, but I weighed myself a week ago. And I had lost 4 pounds with this. So I do recommend it. And what else did I want to say about this? The food that's on here, you would think it's only going to have like the major brands or the major things that are out there. Dude, this has...
Yeah, it's got Menudo, Juanita's Menudos in there?
You know what? I'll look it up for you right now.
I'm pretty sure it does.
Let me look it up.
Wow.
Juanita's Menudo. I wouldn't be shocked at all, dude. It has a Totonilco tacos or tortillas.
Jesus.
All right, yeah. Juanita's Menudo, 1 cup of it is 180 calories, gives you 15 grams of protein. It's got 2 grams of saturated fat. Now, the killer thing about Menudo that I don't like, it's not that it's fat content, but the sodium. 1,130 milligrams of sodium. So for me, that's about half the sodium I'm going to have. And one small little cup of Menudo, that's half the salt I'm going to have.
Right. What if I eat the whole can by myself?
So let's see. How many cups is that? With me? No, it's
fine. I'd have to check to see how many servings. But usually I get like 2 bowls out of it.
All right. Let's say it's 3. Let's say it's 3 cups.
I think 1 can is 2 servings.
2 servings? Just,
all right. All right. Thanks, Andy. There you go. 2 servings. That's going to be 2,260 milligrams of sodium. That's definitely pretty much what I have a day.
That's a maybe, whole day's allowance? Wow.
Yeah, and all you're getting is 30 grams of protein. It's definitely not worth it. That's why I don't have Menudo very often anymore, maybe once a year or something like that.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah, I've used MyFitnessPal. It's pretty good when I was running a lot to monitor my calorie intake. And it does I know they got bought up a couple years ago, I think by Under Armour. So, and they made a lot of improvements. I used it. They had a message board. I don't know if it's still around. That was pretty, that helped out a lot. And, but yeah, that thing, the diary, when you enter the food that you eat or you scan the barcode, whatever you're eating. I mean, you would go buy stuff like that 7-Eleven, like a hot dog or something or whatever, it was all in there, and like a donut. I mean, it was pretty thorough, because at that time they would allow you to upload what you were eating, you know, you to update the list, and it was pretty fucking thorough. I was shocked how much info it had.
Yeah, I was equally as shocked when I first got on it. I was just expecting to put the basics in here, but I put everything, man. The avocado oil that I use, the tortillas that I use, even the Goose Island IPA that I drink every day.
Yeah, it has just about, I think, like 98% of whatever you eat, it's in there, unless you go to like, I mean, I haven't done like a local deli or like a taqueria or something. I mean, you could kind of wing it, but it might be in there, you know?
Yeah, so that's the app, you know. I've been using it for, 3 or 4 weeks already at this point, and it's been great, man.
Nice.
I'm going to keep it up, and I'll report more results probably in a couple weeks or a month. But one other thing I wanted to talk about is I'm finally getting serious about purchasing my first firearm.
Nice.
So, yeah, I haven't quite decided on what to get yet. There's for sure in my lifetime, I want to have at least one shotgun, one handgun, and one rifle, possibly two rifles, one for hunting and one for home defense. But I just don't know what to get as my first thing. Some people are saying get a handgun, and some people are saying get a shotgun. And then my cousin, he just recently got a rifle, and so he was telling me that it's good and all this stuff. And so I was thinking of maybe doing that for hunting, because up north here in Illinois, there's deer and stuff that you can go hunting for. So I'm thinking, I'm like, man, should I just get a rifle and then take some classes and go out there, get a guide and all that, and finally hunt? Because that would be the ultimate thing. I've been on this, like, I don't want to say a new wave, but I've been on this like new style of eating where I eat a lot better than I used to. I want to go with grass-fed, organic, and all that stuff. So I'm thinking if the only way to get better than that would be to actually hunt my own stuff. So if I hunt deer, I've never had venison before, so I don't know the taste of it, but sure if it's good, if it's good and if I season it right, you know, that'll be like a lot of meat right there for the whole next year probably.
Right,
it's not going to taste like the store-bought stuff, I'll tell you that. it has a completely different taste, and
how would you describe it?
It's been a while since I've had it, but it's not store-bought, you know, like you buy a steak at a butcher shop, it doesn't taste like that. It's not gamey or nothing, it has like a different just has a different taste. I don't know how else to explain it. It tastes like meat, but it's like a different flavor. I don't know, it's because, you know, it doesn't have all the crap that they do to it, and to the animals, and, you know, big pharma factory farming or whatever they call it. It's just different, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's different, and it does take some getting used to, and like you said, the seasoning it too, I think matters a lot. I've even had chili with venison, and that was good too. The meat, it was organic stuff. Even if you go like to a farm and you buy a cow and you get it butchered and all that, that meat tastes different from what you buy at the store.
Interesting.
It's very different, and that took some getting used to also. It has like a different, I called it a flavor. It's a different flavor. It ain't like store-bought, all that stuff. It's completely different.
Yeah, I mean, I have a pretty reasonable palate. There's not many foods I can't eat in terms of like different meat proteins. Like I have chicken, steak, and fucking salmon. You know, I have like seafood and land animals, so I might end up liking it, dude.
I've had chicken like right off, like I see it get killed and butchered in front of me, and that even that meat, that chicken meat didn't taste like the store-bought stuff, and that took me a while. I was younger though, but it took me like, it tastes weird to me, but I mean, it's just, you got to comprehend, you know, the way we, what we do to the animals and how we do everything here in the United States, it's different. So, and then they put stuff into it and then they feed them stuff. So obviously that changes the flavor, but when they eat grass fed and all that, like natural stuff, it does have a different taste.
Yeah, the steaks that I buy, the one that I'm going to eat today, I get a New York strip. It's grass-fed. It tastes amazing. So, I mean, if this is going to be natural, and if natural tastes better, then I'm excited to try out some venison.
Yeah, but back to the firearm. So you're contemplating maybe a rifle? I don't know. To me, I think a handgun would be best suitable. But I know a lot of people push shotgun for the first like home defense firearm, if that's what your purpose is.
Yeah, see, I couldn't decide because I've shot a handgun before. I've never shot a shotgun, though. So I don't know how practical it would be for me to use one for home defense. Hopefully I would never have to, right? But if I did, how good would I be with it? And could I go to a gun range and use a shotgun there? Because I know there's some ranges that are pretty finicky about what you can and can't use. There's certain calibers you're not allowed to use. Like, I couldn't go to a gun range with a 50 cal or something like that, you know? So I don't know yet. I haven't decided on the shotgun, but if I were to get a shotgun, there's one that I had in mind, at least one style. I want to get like a tactical semi-automatic one versus the typical pump action. A lot of people usually go for the pump action, or even if you want to get fancy, the lever action.
But, right. Where you're living currently, do you think it's going to be fine having a handgun?
Yeah. I mean, I had to talk about it to a few people, but I don't see that being an issue as long as I do everything that I'm supposed to in terms of keeping it safe in a locked area. My room's always locked when I'm at home, so... Yeah, I don't feel it being an issue, especially things are getting a little bit crazier in the world. So I don't think it'd be the worst idea to have some kind of defense against, you know, any potential threats.
I would start with the rifle. I mean, because the way things are now, I mean, they're always the right, especially like for a while I was thinking about getting an AR-15. The way the laws are always changing depending on who's president. So I'd probably start with that because I think shotguns, it's pretty, you could get them anywhere. And then the handguns is another thing that keep changing their mind about, and everywhere it's different. But here, like in Chicagoland, I would probably push, start with the rifle and AR-15, then go to the handgun. And I think the shotguns, probably the pump action ones, is probably what you're going to be able to get readily, easily.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to start pricing things out. And yeah, maybe I will go with the rifle, man. And then I could use it for hunting if I wanted to, and right, home defense as well. But I'll keep you guys posted. I'll give you guys an update maybe in the next episode. And hey, maybe one day we can all go to the range, test it out.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's shift it over to you, Andy. It looks like you're getting excited about the Sopranos prequel coming out, huh? Yeah, it looks to be pretty interesting.
So yeah, I mean, I started. I saw the trailer, looked decent, and usually like it's just, I wasn't like excited, but I had some big interest in it, and and there was this hype when it was going to drop on HBO Max. I was even contemplating going to the theater to see this. And one day I was just like, I got some time, man. I'm going to start watching it. And just to say the least, I got about halfway through it, and I'm like, I can't finish this shit, man. it was super fucking disappointing. I'm not gonna give out too many. I'm not gonna give out any spoilers, but I was shocked what I was seeing. Like, and I stopped it halfway, and I'm like, I can't watch the rest of this fucking movie. It's like it's all over the fucking place. I don't know if you guys even began to watch it or you watched it at all.
No, I haven't watched it.
So no. Yeah, I was telling like Danny like what was going on, like my thoughts on it. Like it's just all over the fucking place. It's choppy. The timeline seems out of whack, and there's some, you know, I watched the Sopranos series like I think 3 or 4 times complete, like just fucking cranked it out, and I knew this was gonna prequel, and I knew they were gonna focus on Christopher Moltisanti's dad, Dickie Moltisanti, because Tony always talked about like they had this great relationship, and so I guess they were gonna try to figure out like who killed him. It was always like this weird fucking thing in the show. They said a cop killed him, and then like the whole first half of the movie, he's like in and out. It's not really about him. There's other people. They talk about his dad, you know, Dickie Moltisanti's dad, you know, Corrado and, you know, Johnny Soprano, they're like in the background. It was just fucking weird. And I was just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And I stopped watching it. And then I started like, maybe it was me, right? So I started looking at some of the reviews and people had the same complaints that I had. It's just like, so there was even one where they're like, this was like a big fucking disappointment, and it kind of like damages the mystique of the TV show. So, and I was just like, well, I wouldn't go that far, but it was just horrible, dude. Like, I don't want to give out too many spoilers, but yeah, it was just, it's fucking horrible, man. And I got really disappointed, and I started searching, and yeah, other people had the same thoughts that I had. And so it just wasn't me. And I was just like, maybe I'm being too rough on it, or maybe I had too many high expectations for it. But it's just, it's bad. It's a bad fucking movie. And if it didn't have that Sopranos, a Sopranos story fucking thing on it, I think it would have gotten blasted even more by other people saying it's like a horrible fucking movie.
So by choppy, do you mean like Quentin Tarantino?
No.
Timeline moving?
No. It's just, it's not coherent. It's just, they're jumping, they have these characters, right? And then it just bounces back and forth, and they're not really like interwoven. And then like it goes forward a couple years, and then it's just like, what the fuck is going on? And this guy leaves and he comes back, and it's just bad fucking writing. And then I've been reading some of about the second half of it, and I was just like, shit, this is awful. And like, that's why I'm like, I gotta finish it. But I'm in no rush to finish it. The first half of the movie, what I saw is like, they focus in on Dickie Moltisanti and some street guys, and then you kind of see Corrado and Johnny and Lydia. Like they're like in the background. You see a really young Tony and Janice, and Christopher Moltisanti in the beginning is doing like a voiceover, and it's just like, I don't know. It's just, okay, they're there. You see Sill, and like, they're just like crank. There's a riot going on, and then some bullshit happens, and then Dickie's just like driving through the riot, and it's just like, I don't get all of this shit. Like, this shit has nothing to do with the overlying main story of the fucking movie.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. Like I've mentioned in episodes past, I started rewatching Sopranos just recently, and I think I'm up to season 5 now. But man, I'm excited. I'm doing it purposefully to watch that movie, to watch
Saints
of Newark.
We talked about Sopranos, the show, and like there's a couple episodes or a season where it's kind of slow, but then they wrap it up, or you get like like the purpose. They're building up that character to take like a big fucking fall. This is none of that. This is just like I said, it's the first 45 minutes of, and like, wow, that I'm putting it like it's two episodes. Like that was just horrible. That was like a horrible fucking episode.
Well, to that point, you mentioned usually a season arc, it builds, and then the finale or the last two episodes kind of wrap up the storyline and give you a conclusion. Do you think that maybe if you would watch the rest of it, you would see that payoff in the build-up of the movie?
But what I'm reading about it, it doesn't seem like I'm going to. Okay. And, like, I mean, I'm not, like, some hardcore, like, canon storyline guy. But there's already people saying, like, they're not following the original, what we know from the show. They're already like kind of like rewriting canon, like story wise, like about certain things. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like maybe the second half is more Soprano-esque heavy, and maybe they'll delve into some shit. But even his kid, Gandolfini's kid, his performance was not, what the little bit that I saw of him was not that fucking great. So I'm just like, yeah, this is like bad, man. Like I was trying to, like, usually this is what happens when there's so much hype. It was not good. It was not fucking good. And lately all the newer movies, when there's a lot of hype, excluding the Marvel movies, they kind of suck. And Marvel's dropped a couple fucking bombs too, like with Captain Marvel and shit.
Man, that's rough, dude. Anytime you get hype for a movie and then it just fails, it sucks, you know?
No, and, but yeah.
I've been there for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't like, I wouldn't even recommend it. I mean, if you watch the show, yeah, check it out. Let me know. I would like to hear someone's thoughts, you know, send them at ffnquestions@gmail.com. But to me, it was fucking just, it was horrible writing. And then the acting, and like I said, it's like Danny kind of like Tarantino-esque. Like, nah, man, you're insulting Tarantino trying to compare this shit to that, because it's nothing like that. Nothing.
I mean, that's how it is lately, man. It's a lot of misses going on in the Hollywood.
Yeah, and like I said, it's like it skips a couple years, and then, yeah, it was just fucking weird. I mean, I don't know. You guys check it out. Let me know. And then the other thing I got going on is the playoffs, baseball playoffs started this week.
Playoffs?
Exactly. And the White Sox made it, and they had a tough task. They have to play Houston. So by the time this episode drops, I think the White Sox are going to be done. The first two games for the White Sox have been brutal, man. I don't know. I caught, I'm at work, but I caught some of it on the radio, and it was just, looks like the first game, there was no hitting and the pitching stunk. The second game, they got some hittings, but the bullpen let them down and everything just went right for Houston. So, Houston just looked unfucking stoppable. The Sox would put up some runs and then they just fucking put up more runs. And then, they had some errors, and it's just, it doesn't look good for the Sox. They play tonight in Chicago. It's a night game. It's the day of this recording, game three. But I think even if they win a game here in Chicago, they're not going to pass Houston. And it's kind of disappointing because they were hitting at the end of the season, and the pitching kind of rebounded. But either Houston's that fucking good or they're fucking cheating again.
Wow, man, I can't believe you're just giving up, man. I get what you're saying. Yeah, the first two games were difficult. The first game was difficult. The second one I was a lot more hopeful for, and disappointed that they couldn't pull it off. But I still kind of have hope, man. I can't believe you're ready to pack it up, man.
In a 5-game series, they're down 2-0, so that means they got to win 3 in a row against Houston. I don't see that happening. Again, I feel like it's another wasted year. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, they're happy they made the playoffs 2 years in a row. And then they went into, they went into, like, I don't want to say, like, a little laid back, but I would figure La Russa would have had a better grasp of this shit, being him winning multiple World Series. So it's just, I think they're probably going to win tonight. I hope they don't get swept out, but I just don't see him beating three against Houston, because Houston looked really fucking good and they had a good year. And the first two games, everything just went right for them. So, and then let's say they win the next two, they still got to go back to Houston for the fifth game.
Right.
It's not good. And everybody else, the Yankees, everybody was on the Yankees nuts. They got their ass whooped. I watched a little bit of the Brewers Braves. They're tied up as of this recording. The Braves won last night. And then, I mean, it's good to have postseason, but I mean, it's better when your team's in it. But, you know, it was, the season's a fucking grind. And then just to lay two stinkers in a row, it's kind of disheartening. It's kind of like when the Bears made the playoffs. Was it last year or the year before? And you're like, for what? They're going to get fucking blown out that first game. And that's kind of what happened. I mean, you just don't think they can make a run, and I don't see the Sox making a run.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Hopefully this time, the next recording, we're talking about the next run of the playoffs with the Sox.
I was watching a little bit of Barstool Chicago had Ozzie Guillen a couple of days ago, and right off the bat, he goes, in order for the Sox to beat Houston, he goes, they got to win one of the first two games. If they don't win one of the, they're fucking done. He goes, they're not gonna beat them. And that's fucking Ozzy talking, and he knows baseball. So that's what I'm saying, like, to put three runs in a row against Houston, that's a big fucking task. And I don't even, like, if they just keep hitting home runs, I don't think the Sox have the bullpen got exposed those first two games to against good hitting teams. They got exposed because they're putting out fucking runs again against the Sox. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think Ozzy knows his baseball and shit, and I kind of agree with him too. I mean, they had a kind of after the All-Star break, the Sox kind of fell off. They were like 500, and then they kind of turned it on the last couple weeks. But I don't know, man. You gotta be on all the time, especially in playoffs.
Right.
But you guys, you know, let us know what you guys think. The Dodgers look good, like always. Let us know who you think you're going to win. By the time this the recording drops, you should probably see, you might see the pennant, the games, and then the World Series. So send them out. Send your picks at ffnquestions@gmail.com. So with that being said, we're going to move on here. We have this Out of This World project that's somebody's working on here, and that's going to lead us into our article of the week. So we're going into our article of the week here. I don't know how much you guys know about Lockheed Martin, and then I don't know how much you know about Skunk Works. I'm assuming maybe Noel knows something. I'm pretty sure Danny don't know shit.
I don't know neither what the heck you're talking about.
Do you know what Lockheed Martin is, Noel?
So I'm not like super well versed on it. I know it's a company. I know it's a company that's it's a government contractor, I believe. Mm-hmm. They actually work in competition, I believe, with the company my cousin works at, Northrop Grumman. They also do. So I don't know too much, but yeah, I know I'm aware of them. Yeah.
So Lockheed Martin's a company, and then their division, super secretive Skunk Works, is super famous for developing some of the most aircrafts the U.S. military has ever had, going back to like the fucking 50s. And there's always they always win contracts. They just have a long track record of building super secretive weapons for the U.S. military. And an article on Daily Mail. And then the first subject is, does America have a real flying saucer? Lockheed Martin's super secretive Skunk Works chief refuses to comment on a video that shows a bizarre aircraft on the back of a flatbed truck near the facility. And you'll see in the link, there's the pictures. It looks first of all, it's a flat step deck. I work in logistics. I'm like, huh, how they get that over there? And that looks like you need permits to move that. But it looks like a fucking flying saucer, and it's all black. Looks like it's some stealth flying saucer, and there's no, as you would see, like jet propulsion, like something to push it. You don't see engines or anything on this. You don't even see like windows on just the one picture that they got. And the GM, Jeff Baroni, declined to comment on what they're working on because obviously it's some super secret thing. It's probably a government. I think it's a spy plane. I don't know if it's for space or not. I mean, just by the design, it, you kind of like see that, like an opening in the middle. I'm assuming that's where maybe a pilot would go, or maybe it's a drone.
Yeah, I was thinking a drone. I don't think, right? Like, it doesn't seem like it'd be a comfortable fit for anyone.
You see a hole in the picture. There's like a hole. I don't know if that's where, like, the shit you pushed off the propulsion. You know, and yeah, it's very interesting. It's on a step deck trailer, so, and I'm guessing it's not a flying saucer, something they're working on. But when you see shit like this, you always wonder, like, if America is so advanced militarily with all this shit, why does shit like Vietnam and Afghanistan happen? Right? Like, it's like unfucking real. Like, they spent all this money, like, so why won't they whip out this shit and just like fucking destroy people?
Well, it could be a spacecraft, but it could be something else. It could be a satellite. It could be the side of a tank or the top of a tank. I mean, it could be a part of an upper assembly, a bigger assembly of something. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's an aircraft. It's very thin in profile. So if you were to have a pilot in it at all, he would have to be laying down, it looks like. So that's what got me thinking, is it just something else? Is it a part of a satellite dish? Is it part of a tank or some kind of submarine? Is it something else? It's a portion of the other thing, and they have to ship it in pieces because obviously you can't just ship a submarine across, you know, the United States. You can't fit it on a flatbed truck like Andy's saying. So is it a part of something further?
So in my initial thought, I saw it. I'm like, okay, it's some type of saucer-shaped. I thought it was a plane, but I thought it was like a drone. Down in the article, the video showing the apparent aircraft generated plenty of buzz on TikTok, Twitter, and they wrote, someone commented, it's a demonstration model for the shape and or possibility of skin material. So it, like, kind of like you talking about, Danny, might be they're showing something off. Probably not functional or even final design. The giant pedestal mount on the bottom of the center will be where it's secured and it can be tested its stealth capabilities. So it's something stealth they're showing, I guess, because I think you're right. It's part of like, look, we got this new shit that you can put on anything. So but it does look UFO-esque.
Right. It might even be a flexible material. Look at all these new like LCD screens that are coming out by Samsung that are flexible. Look at these new flexible phones that collapse and fold the screen in half. It could be a multitude of things. Maybe the weird shape of it is because whatever it's resting on top, it's, you know, kind of like fabric kind of leaning over it. Whatever it's holding up. So it could be a multitude of things. When I first saw it, my first guess didn't go, oh, this is a flying saucer. I automatically started thinking this is a piece of something bigger. You see it all the time, stuff that's being transported across trailers or trucks or whatnot. You got to ship it in multiple pieces. You can't ship out a crane, let's say, an entire crane that they use at a construction site on the side of the bed. You have to send them in pieces and you know, stuff like that. That's just the way the world works, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the only other thing where I'm like, oh man, this raised red, you know, for me, get me it's Skunkworks. I mean, Skunkworks has been around for a long fucking time. And they're known to be super secretive on all their projects. I mean, you guys know about America's first spy plane, the U-2. That's the one that got shot down by the Soviets. They even made a movie about it. They thought they got this plane so high, like, to take pictures of Russia and other shit. They were pretty sure the Russians will never have a missile to fire it down until they finally did it. And it was like, the U-2 was always like a fucking myth. Everybody talked about it, but nobody can confirm it until one got shut down by the Russians. And I believe they also designed the Blackbird, the one from the 60s, the cool looking one with like the two jets, like very all black. And there's a bunch of other shit that they designed. So,
it's
just interesting when you see like this.
Everybody is secretive, man. Everybody's secretive. I don't like my bank information being out there. I don't like the stuff that I'm working on, money that I'm saving to put in a patio door. I don't want that to be common knowledge between everybody. Companies, they have stuff that's proprietary that they're trying to hide from other people so that they don't steal their stuff. They're trying to hide their financing so that people don't know how much money they make. Everybody's about secret, especially nowadays. Everybody's guarding their little nut in this whole game. So companies being secret to me doesn't automatically bring up a red flag like, oh my God, something nefarious is going on here. It could be like, hey, we don't want other people to steal our shit, so we got to be secretive.
You know, I always thought about that because like there's really not much transparency between what the government does and what the people know. And I always wondered, should that be different? Should the people know everything the government does? And then to what extent? Because if we know it, if 400 million Americans know it, does that mean some of those people will leak it to people that shouldn't know?
Right.
You know, so it's a really complicated situation.
I hear what you're saying there, but this is the only thing where it's kind of weird is like someone just with a cell phone recorded this and they're like, oh, I'm gonna put this on TikTok, right?
They mention that in the article that weird
thing to me. Yeah.
They mention it at the end of the article that they don't understand how this pic even got released. Like, how would a super duper secret, top secret everything site have people walking around with cell phones? This is like, dude, yeah, you wouldn't do that.
Because they're talking about in the article, it talks about how there's a military base that's nearby. And so they were guessing they were having people come out to look at this or some shit like that. But and then like someone wrote on there, how can this top secret military base and people come and have the dude just walking around taking pictures of this super secret spy plane or whatever the hell it is. And just like, yeah, I'm gonna put it on TikTok. And then TikTok is nefarious for who owns them. You know, the Chinese, I think, have a majority stake on that, if they still do. It's just like, it's very fucking strange.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is a spacecraft. Who the hell knows? But that's not where my conspiracy alarm didn't go off when I saw this.
Yeah, my first thing is like, okay, is it a plane or is it a space, like something space, like a space weapon, maybe for the Space Force? And shit like that, because you know Trump signed that into it a couple years back, and people were mocking him and shit. But there is a United States has a Space Force, so like, oh, maybe it's that, you know. And then it is like a flying saucer, and then so it's interesting to see what it is. Skunk Works, like I said, is they have a long history of building this shit, so. To me, right off the bat, it has to be a plane or a drone. I'm not aware of them working on any space stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was a drone from the first time I saw it. I was like, okay, yeah, this seems like, because it doesn't have really windows, or unless it's all going to be digital, like
maybe it's interdimensional cameras.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, that'd be insane. I mean, it's fun to speculate, right? Like, it's fun to think about what it could be. But ultimately, I don't think we'll ever know.
Yeah, like, you know, America was like innovative in the drone shit. When I first heard about drones, I'm like, what? And then you see over the years some of the drones that got shot down. Like, some of them look like the stealth bomber, and then some of them look super high tech. And, like, compared it to the old, like, this thing with, like, fucking propellers, the initial ones, into what got shut down. And, like, we're super, we were ahead at one time with all that shit. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, and then, like, when they shot, when they got Bin Laden, they had, like, that stealth helicopter. No one really knew about it until they shot it down. I mean, you all know they shot one down at that compound, and then they're like, make sure you blow the fucking one up before you guys take, because they didn't want none of that stuff falling into like the Russians and the Chinese. And they blew it up, but there was still like a big chunk of it. It looks this type of like the shell, like that black stealth shit, but it was all like weird, and like they didn't even know that existed until one of those motherfuckers got shot down. You always heard the conspiracy, you know, there's fucking helicopters flying around that you can't hear or see through radar and all this shit, you know.
Right. Yeah. No, the amount of shit that we don't know that happens through the government, it's probably ridiculous if we got to see a list of all the shit that goes on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we're so, it makes you wonder, like, if we got so much advanced shit, then, like, why does, like, Vietnam and Afghanistan and all that shit happen? Like, why don't they use your, like, most sophisticated shit and just fucking, like, end these wars? It just does not make any fucking sense. Or unless they don't got shit, that's the other thing.
Well, they probably don't want it to get shut down.
I think it's the guerrilla warfare. It's just really difficult to know who's the enemy and who's not. It's like if two teams play against each other, like the White Sox and Houston, but nobody's wearing uniforms and you can't really recognize each other's faces, you don't know who the fuck's on which team unless you separate them. But when you go to Afghanistan, you're in front of just people, random people that could or could not be carrying a weapon to hurt you. And you don't know that. Even kids, dude, would be bombers. You know, they would be suicide bombers. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Hurt Locker.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot of movies out there that show just how crazy guerrilla warfare can be. I'm pretty sure it's that. And if you didn't care about the people at all and you were just like trying to massacre everyone, then yeah, you could easily just bomb the whole country to shit. But obviously you don't want to do that. You want to get the enemy, not.
Like, yeah, you remember the movie The Watchmen, right? Yeah, I don't know how much you remember of it. And Nixon is losing Vietnam and he sends Dr. Manhattan to fucking Vietnam because he's like, I don't want the U.S. to lose this war. Like, to me, that makes fucking sense. Like, hey, man, I got this fucking superhero here. Like, go over there and fucking kill all these. And he's like blowing up fucking Vietnamese and shit, like just by his thoughts process and shit. And I was just, to me, like, this makes fucking sense. Like, if you have such super weapons and shit, like, why wouldn't you use them? Even, like, as a kid, I would watch fucking Voltron or, like, Spectre Man, even to Power Rangers. Like, man, why don't he just be the giant, like, Spectre Man and fuck this guy up real quick? Or fucking Voltron, just be the fucking Voltron, whip out that sword and cut that motherfucker in half. Why is this all this weird battling, trying to do his shit? Just become the super weapon and fuck him up.
Right. Another thing too is war just keeps the machine churning, you know.
Yeah.
The government has these contractors and they everybody needs to get paid, and so the government takes the money from us and then they use it for whatever the hell they want, and they pay these contractors to give them more weapons and more technology and keeps the wars going.
And like, yeah, I mean, to me it's a money, I think this got released because I think they're trying I think they're trying to dick wave to China and to Russia. Like, look, we got this shit, motherfuckers. You don't know what it can do. And, you know, and Skunk Works is legendary for building shit like this. So, I mean, they're just, I personally think it's dick waving. And then, like, going back, the other reason I don't believe it's, like, a space thing, because a couple years back, NASA, they sent some secretive space shuttle, like drone thing into space. I don't know if you remember that. And they wouldn't talk about it. And then they finally, when it launched and when it came back, they're like, yeah, we sent a fucking spaceship out there for a couple weeks. Didn't say where it went. Didn't say anything. And then they finally made it like, oh, yeah, we just sent it out there to deliver a satellite or some shit. And it was like a really small fucking like space shuttle. And it, no, and then people are like, oh, okay, they're just delivering a space shuttle or like a satellite. Like, let's not bring this shit up no more. We got a response, and nobody really followed up. They have their own secretive shit too. So, I don't know if you guys recall that at all. No, it was like a mini space shuttle that they built, and they shot off into space, and then it came back, and then. They're like, yeah, we have a landing, and people took, they recorded it and shit, and they're like, what is this? Like, it wasn't manned or nothing, and they're like, oh, yeah, it was just, it was unloading a satellite, and it was gone for, like, 2 weeks. So they were saying, like, where did it go? What did it do? And they wouldn't really answer anything, and people were claiming it's some experimentive space shuttle testing thing that they were trying to do.
They're building the Death Star out there, dude.
Maybe they're trying to, they're testing out some warp shit or something. I mean, I don't fucking know.
Well, yeah. Did you ever hear about the San Francisco project or whatever the hell it was, where they found a way to do like portals and shit, and they tested it out on this like submarine. And so that everybody that was in the submarine was aware that the test was going to take place. And the second they put the test into motion, people started phasing through the walls and they got stuck. Arms.
Yeah,
it was a fucking mishmash of parts, and it was incredibly just crazy. It's like a crazy story I heard a while back.
Yeah, there's like a handful of survivors. I think there's like one survivor, and he like went around talking about it. Like, yeah, people's body parts were like in the walls and shit because they didn't do something, some Star Trek shit, when you know you beam people in and out.
Yeah, it's crazy to think if that was real, man. Just that was a long time ago. So what can they do now if that was real? Yeah.
But wow, not so.
That's what I'm saying. Like with the technology, if the U.S. like I contend like they we're still a superpower and we got all this badass shit. Why won't you just fucking whip that shit out quick and then fucking handle business? You know, that's my big thing. I never understood why they're still sending tanks and, like, fucking all this other bullshit.
Well, I'm going to steal a line from Sopranos, man. AJ was talking to one of his friends, and they were talking about having sex. And the French is like, no, bro, the way you got to do it is you got to work around the perimeter, and then you engage. That's the way everything is, man. You don't just go full bore down. Give it all you got, man. You gotta work around the edge and kind of like tease it up before you drop that bomb, man. And that's the way everything is, man. That's the way the army is, and that's even us, man. But the tease is over. The episode is done. We'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember to follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Send in those questions and suggestions. Let us know what you think of this pick. What is it? Is it a satellite, or is Andy right and it might be a space shuttle? FFNquestions@gmail.com. Visit our webpage. It's at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see years of podcasts that we've been dropping. Listen to where Andy didn't know what he was saying in episode 26. I'm not really sure if that's the one, but there's plenty of them out there for you guys to listen and listen to us three rant and rave about different weird things. Hit that like and subscribe button now on whatever services you're using. We really do appreciate it. We're trying to be more communicative of those likes and subscriptions because we do appreciate it. It helps our numbers out. It helps us grow a fan base here. But for Freeform Radio, we got Andy.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a space shuttle. I said it was something else.
Right, right.
So you could listen to all our past episodes where Danny doesn't listen to what I say. There's hundreds of them. And right. We want to thank you guys for listening.
And we got Noel.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate your support and look forward to your continued viewership.
For sure. And then this is Daniel. Andy's right. I got to, you know, throw a zinger every now and then just make sure he's paying attention, didn't fall asleep on us.
I try not to.
But we appreciate everybody out there. We do this for everybody and for everything. So everybody out there, enjoy your day and have a good one.
That was cool, Dad.